Well, good morning and welcome to our midweek service, and a very warm welcome to everybody who's joining us online. I'm Reverend Peter Myers, I'm the curate here, and I'll be leading the service. Now, we continue today our series on We Are the Church, and we're going to be looking at what it means to worship the Lord with the wholeness of ourselves. And we have a guest speaker this morning, but she's not going to be live. She's videoed her talk. It's Lois Hornby. And she's here, she's not here, because she's heading off to university. We're going to listen to her on the screen later. So it's a real joy to have her thoughts and reflections with us. But let's start by settling our hearts, perhaps closing our eyes, and just in our own hearts, welcoming the Lord here amongst us. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name as brothers and sisters, here in the church and wherever we are listening. We thank you that we are one body, one church, and we are beloved sons and daughters of our Lord. And I pray that each one of us will know his love for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I invite you to stand? I will say the words in yellow, and if you say the ones in white. The Lord be with you, and also with you. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. As God's people, we have gathered. Let us worship him together. Remember what wonderful and glorious people we are, but we also know that we fall short. And so let us confess our sins. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us then show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord Jesus, let's say this together. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess we have failed you as did you first disciples. We ask for your mercy and your help. Our selfishness betrays you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. Again, say together. We fail to share the pain of your suffering. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We run away from those who abuse you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We are afraid of being known to belong to you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. So let me say, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So please take a seat and Alan's going to come and read for us.
Good morning, you happy band of pilgrims. Not quite so many of us, I think, are there this week? The reading is taken from Romans, chapter 11, verse 33, to chapter 12, verse 2. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory for ever. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, I'm Lois. I go to St. Andrew's Church. I'm sorry I can't come to church in person today. I would love to be with you, but unfortunately, I'm in quarantine. I'm still excited to talk about worship though. It's an exciting topic at any time, but especially now when we can't sing in church. Today, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and talk about whole life worship and what this means. I pray that this service will bless you and help us all to worship God even more richly than before. Let's start by thinking about what worship is. Chapters 1 to 12 in the book of Romans is theological and talks mostly about God's grace. After this, the book is largely about how to live in response to this. Paul starts in Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, by urging us to worship. So once we've considered God's grace to us in the first half of Romans, Paul urges us to in view of God's mercy, worship. So he urges us to think about who God is and his mercy towards us, and we naturally respond to that with worship. So our response of gratitude, awe, reverence, joy is worship, recognizing God's infinite goodness, and so then honouring God above all things as a result is worship. So worship is essentially a heart attitude in response to knowing God. This is like how in John's Gospel, Jesus says that true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. Worshipping in truth is understanding who God is and his infinite goodness. And worshipping in spirit is when our inmost being responds to that truth by worshipping. So true worship is an attitude of loving and honouring God above all things because we've seen his goodness and love. I'll say that again. True worship is an attitude of loving and honouring God above all things because we've seen his goodness and love. One way that we can express this heart attitude is through singing. With song lyrics, we can declare God's goodness and our gratitude to God. Usually we do this in church, and we see examples of people doing this in the Bible. But if worship is our response to God, naturally people will respond in different ways. And this might not always be through singing. For example, sadly, I'm not very musical. When I see something that amazes me, my natural response is not to sing. My natural response is to express this joy, not just with my voice, but with my whole body. When I talk, I get very animated like this, and I enjoy running on the hills. In the same way, when I think about how awesome God is, I like to express the joy I feel by running on the hills, and I thank him for his goodness while I run. This is worship, because through this I'm expressing to God how much I love him and the joy that I feel when I worship him. Perhaps you could think for a moment, what's your natural response when you think about something amazing? If worship is simply an attitude of loving and honouring God, we can do this in any activity. For example, when we speak to people, we can honour God by treating the person we're speaking to with love. Or when we eat, we can honour God by thanking him for his provision. Or when we work or wash up, we can honour God by doing it to the best of our ability. This is all worship. I'll use an example from my life. Last year, I spent 6 months at a discipleship centre in France, where we spent 6 months trying to know God and make God known. This meant 3 weeks of Bible teaching in French and 3 months of street evangelism, also in French. Street evangelism is basically going up to people on the street and telling them about Jesus. And I'll be honest, I did not know what I was signing myself up for, or I would never have done this. Street evangelism scares me, and I'd much rather serve in a practical way. Like when I was helping refugees in Calais before going to the discipleship centre. In fact, I wished that I was still helping refugees and not doing street evangelism. One day, we were doing street evangelism in Paris, and it was 37 degrees Celsius. I was given the job of handing out water to passers-by. I told God that this was not what I wanted to be doing. I didn't see the point, and I'd rather be handing out sleeping bags to refugees. However, I chose to worship God and honour God by doing my best anyway, and seeing if maybe there would be a way to serve God through doing this. Long long story short, I ended up giving some water to someone who was fighting for human rights in Syria. We talked about his work and how God cares for Syrians even more than he does. I shared the gospel and how Jesus died to save each person and is right now working in Syria to bring about his kingdom. Jesus is inviting us to follow him and join us in bringing about his kingdom. This man not only gave his life to Jesus, but was now adamant that everyone in Syria, including all the refugees, need to hear about Jesus. He was determined to join a church to find out more about Jesus and to find people to go to Syria with him to tell people about Jesus. It was awesome. God did a miracle. I was very surprised. I never expected anyone to actually decide to follow Jesus as a result of street evangelism, especially not through handing out water. But God used a simple act of worship powerfully. Often, though, we worship God in mundane ways and it stays mundane. For example, while we were walking to the place where we did street evangelism, I picked up litter. This was worship because I wanted to honour God by caring for his creation. God didn't use this in a miraculous way, but it's responding to God's great love by honouring him, which is precious worship to God. So we can worship God in our day-to-day activities. This is good news. We may not be able to worship God through singing in church at the moment, but we can still worship God. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, however, asks us to go even deeper in worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, says to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is worship that is holy and pleasing to God. So then, worship is responding to God's grace by offering our bodies, i.e. by offering all of us, everything, even our eating, sleeping, working. The Message translation of Romans chapter 12 verse 1 writes it like this: take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking about life, and place it before God as an offering. We see this in other parts of the Bible. For example, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In all our activities, we can worship God by doing them with a heart attitude of loving and honouring God. Our God is so worthy that our response to him is offering our whole lives. Matt Redman puts it like this: worship is all-consuming because God is all-deserving. So we live our lives eager to breathe every breath, think every thought, and do every deed for the glory of God. This kind of worship not only transforms how we do the activities in our lives by doing them to honour God, it transforms our whole life. When we desire to honour God as much as we can, our priorities will shift to be in line with his, and our lives look different as a result. God's priorities, such as bringing his kingdom, loving God and our neighbour, sharing our faith with others and living justly, will replace other priorities we might once have had. We will ask questions like, how can I use my time in a way that honours God? How can I use my resources, such as money, in a way that best honours God? How can I be a parent or child, sibling, spouse or friend in a way that honours God? Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, says that we should not live lives that conform to the pattern of this world. i.e. we shouldn't follow what everyone else in the world does. Instead, we should follow God's will. I'll read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Note here that God's will is good and pleasing. Obeying God is a joyful way to live. But God is very clear about what he thinks about people worshipping him with their words in church, but not obeying him in the rest of their lives. He says that he does not like this type of worship. For example, God saw that the Israelites were worshipping in the synagogue, but disobeyed his laws regarding justice. They oppressed the poor who worked for them and ignored the poor and needy. God spoke through the prophet Amos, saying, "Your assemblies are a stench to me. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, and righteousness like a never-ending stream." These are strong words, and they highlight the importance of obeying God when we worship. Following God's will can show to God that we believe he is good and wise, and therefore worth obeying. And also that he's the most important thing in our lives, so obeying him is important to us. In short, the way that we live shows our inner heart attitude to God. This heart attitude is the worship that matters to God. We don't obey God so that he loves and accepts us. We're already loved and accepted, and nothing can change that. But obeying God shows to God what our heart attitudes are. It shows that we know God's infinite love and grace and goodness towards us, and that we're responding by worshipping with our whole life, because God is that worthy. So obeying God in things like acting with gentleness and humility, or forgiving and encouraging people, is beautiful worship to God. Obeying God by prioritising loving God and living justly is beautiful worship to God. Sometimes we will make mistakes and disobey God. We won't worship God with our whole lives. This is why Jesus died on the cross, to take our punishment, forgive our sins, and give us new life in Christ. So making mistakes is actually an opportunity to come to Jesus, confess where our heart attitudes are not right before God, and ask for forgiveness. We can't get it right all the time, but getting our heart attitude wrong is a beautiful opportunity to come back to God, let him transform us by the renewing of our minds and heart attitudes and ways of thinking, and we can be transformed by this renewing of our mind. Doing this draws us into a deeper understanding of God's love and grace, and so naturally we respond with an even deeper worship of God. Let's close by going back to where we started. Worship is a response to God's character and God's grace to us. It starts with knowing that we are loved and forgiven and adopted into God's family. So it starts at the cross, understanding all that Jesus has done for us. It leads us to respond by honouring him in everything that we do and shift our priorities and obey him. And we obey him because we love and honour him above all else. And when we get it wrong, we can come back to God, be forgiven, and learn to love and worship God even more deeply. Thank you. Have a good service.
Thank you, Lois. That was a wonderful word, powerful word. And so in response to that, let me pick out two things for us to reflect on. I love the way that Lois talked about worship is a response to God, and that actually we all respond in different ways. It's not always. Some people are musical and sing, and that really stirs them. I wonder what your natural desire is, how you like to respond to God. Is it running the hills like Lois? Is it singing? Or is it using words? Is it dwelling in silence? Why don't you just think for a moment, what is your natural way in which you want to respond to God and his love for you? I think there are times when I'm asking that sort of question where I wish I'm a little bit more American and a little less British, because I think we can be very self-contained, whereas the Americans are really good at expressing themselves. I know dance, singing, expressing myself is something that I like to do, but I'm quite resistant to it. But I wonder what it means for you. The other thing that Lois challenged us about is, what does it mean to respond and worship to the Lord with all our lives, all our bodies? Again, I have a question for us just to dwell in for a moment. Are there parts of our lives which we are running ourselves but are not submitted in a worshipping way to God? It may be in our relationships or our time. Maybe in our words to one another. Maybe it is finances and our belongings. Why don't we just have a moment there and think again? Where are there parts of our world which do not worship God? Parts of our lives. I think I'm conscious that when I have time, not time off, not free time, but when I know it's not necessarily work time, it's very much my time rather than necessary time that I can still do the things that I enjoy, but I don't necessarily submit it to the Lord. I do very much what I want to do and hold on to that. So perhaps that's a way in which places that I can work in. So I wonder what it is for you. Let's, before we share in around the table, let us pray. Lord, let us gather together and worship you with the whole of ourselves. Help us, Lord, every day to give ourselves to you and to those around us. I heard someone this week say, I think the world often think Christians think too less of themselves, or that we think too less of ourselves, whereas actually we need to think less about ourselves, such that we can think about and serve others. May we know what special, loved brothers and sisters, sons and daughters we are. But let us not be caught up in that. Help us, Lord, to think about others more than ourselves. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to his apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant it the peace and the unity of your kingdom, where you are alive and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray for the peace of the world at this time. And Almighty God, from whom all thoughts and truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray, in the hearts of all the true love of peace, and guide with your pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your kingdom may go forward, till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And perhaps in a moment of quiet, you might like to think and lift up to the Lord a particular area of the world dear to you. Lord, we recognise where there's so much injustice in the world. Last week we read and spoke out of Isaiah 58, what true fasting is, setting the oppressed free, feeding the hungry, dressing the unclothed, caring for those in need. Eternal God, in whose perfect realm no sword is drawn but the sword of righteousness, and no strength known but the strength of love. So guide and inspire the work of all of us who seek your kingdom, that all your people may find their security in that love which casts out fear, and in the fellowship revealed to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And again, in the quiet of our own heart, let us bring to the Lord all our own desires, own needs, own passions, and those known to us in particular need of the love of the Lord Jesus this morning. And so we lift up these prayers to you, Lord, and we thank you that you are sovereign over all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So can I invite you to stand for the peace? Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, may peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord always be with you." Thank you. Perhaps you'd like to look at one another or wave or express the sign of the peace to one another. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Please take a seat. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared your life with that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice of sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread, and gave you thanks. He broke it, gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit on this bread and this wine. May it be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. And so let us receive the body of Christ, which he gave for us. Let us remember he died on the cross for us as an expression of his love. Upside down. Help us, Lord, to worship you with the whole of our being, the whole of our bodies. Thank you for sustaining us through our gathering together and the receiving of your body. So let us say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out into the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May God give to you and to all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you for being with us this time of worship. And I pray that you'll be to go into the new day and the coming days. Stretch yourself into what it means to worship the Lord in the wholeness of your being, in our words, in our actions, and in our life. Thank you, and we'll see you very soon again.